extra.
Sales red meat. That's what it is. Red meat that you can take out into the street 1 minute after you hear it and turn it into money.
In a New York minute?
No, actually, Jenny, in a Jersey minute. And today's Sell or Die Extra is brought to you by...
Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like? It's Friday, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for the best of Sell or Die.
The best nuggets of sales wisdom every week, all in one place.
A sales slap in the face. A sales refresher.
I feel refreshed.
I can tell. And if you want to go back and listen to the full episodes, we've made it easy. There are links to each of the episodes right in the show notes.
If you love the podcast, if you're a true seller diehard, and you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet...
What are you waiting for?
Seriously, Friday is the best day to do it. It helps us so that we can help you.
It's time for the best of the best, the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme, sales grade A red meat. It's time
to sell or die.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Motivation Monday.
There was really only one way that I could communicate with people, and that was on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And now people have a choice. And not only do they choose what they like, they choose what they hate. And some people hate the phone. Some people hate email. And what happens is when you limit yourself to a single channel or even a couple channels, you risk alienating everybody that doesn't like that channel.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You have to do multiple channels. So it's all for everything is for everything. It's a lot more work now as a seller. You got to figure out what works for the people you're going and be there. Otherwise, you're going to eliminate that part of your market.
People love silver bullets. And we say this a couple times in our book. It's like everybody loves a silver bullet. They want to know, just checking in is going to work for every persona every time. And it's like, no, it doesn't happen. There's no such thing as a silver bullet. That's why our goal is to teach people how to do the process and then allow them to do it for their personas and their sales process. Don't just blanket statement something on LinkedIn where one word subject lines have X percent, and then everybody goes and does one word subject lines for everything that they do. And it's like, oh, we don't know how to test it. So we're just going to like take this information. It's not going to teach us anything. It's not going to help our team get better. That's what the book is for. The book is to teach you how to run the process and how to turn sales into a science. Mm. So it's repeatable, like you said.
So it's not what you like or don't like. It's what the customer will receive well.
Whoa.
Now, there you go.
Let me explain one other thing. There is a silver bullet. The silver bullet was the Lone Ranger's business card. He was arguably the best sales cowboy of all time. He never said his name. He came into the thing. He fixed he got the money back, put the guy in jail, rode off in the sunset with the maiden or gave her back to her boyfriend. And somebody at the end of the show said, who was that masked man? And somebody else said, you don't know who that was? That was the Lone Ranger. And this is a guy who came in value first. He provided value to the receiver and engaged every single person all the way to the end of the show when he was able to conquer or overcome or put to use what he promised he would do in the beginning of the show. And that's what a salesperson needs to do.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And he had customer service. He had Tonto. But Tonto was also the research guy. Tonto was also the guy that scouted ahead and made sure he had all the information that he needed, Kemosabe. And he was the greatest salesperson of all time, cowboy-wise. But he was transferring a message that his business card was so freaking cool. It was the silver bullet. And every salesperson has been looking for the silver bullet since then. And all it means is, where's my value? Where's my service?
Totally. So
yeah, and if you're under 40 years old, the Lone Ranger, Google it, is like a cowboy guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not very PC. I would say also there is one. I'm totally with you, Jeff. There is one silver bullet. My daddy taught me this a long time ago. It's called work.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No.
Exactly.
Let me throw this at you. My millennial book, which is coming out soon, called Pick Up the Fucking Phone.
Yeah,
is, is exactly what's needed. Like, you're right. Take the book, The Secret, if you own it, and either burn it or write two words in the back of the book called work hard. Because you're not going to have the Cadillac is not going to appear in your driveway by you eating potato chips on the couch.
Okay, you can't just dream it. You have to do something to make it happen too. We all agree, I think. So,
not the people that wrote that book.
So, anyway, if you're just joining us, we're not talking about that book. We're talking about sales engagement. And we have Mark and Max here, two of the authors of the book. And they're talking about how you can engage your customers in a better way, which is really cool. But first, I want to say, before we go back to you guys, I want to say a special hello to Isabel Gradowski, who's cutting school today. Hey, Izzy. Jeffrey's granddaughter is here. I love it.
She's 11 going on 43.
Yeah, she just went to this massive slime fest and collected all this slime from different vendors. And Ray just bought your book on Kindle. So thank you, Ray. I think you'll enjoy it. I want to know, for our diehards out there who don't have those PhDs and don't have the researchers on their team.
Or even the understanding.
Yeah, how do they conduct their own studies in a more simplified way to actually get the data they need to engage with their customers better?
Use this and use outreach, and then it's pretty simple. You don't need a team of PhDs. Listen, if you had $0 and couldn't afford the book and couldn't afford outreach, you could probably do this yourself. It'd be super manual.
Yeah.
And it would be pretty tough. But, you know, we have our sales engagement podcast, which is free, which will share a lot of information about some of the best practices us and our customers and the people in our space do. There's content on Sales Hacker you can read that's, you know, the kind of like free, maybe like, you know, more junior 101 version of this type of stuff. And then if you're doing it on your own, this is what I did 5 years ago when I was, or seven, damn. Seven or eight years ago when I was the first employee at Udemy trying to build the sales process there, and technology didn't really exist. So I had complicated mail merges that I was doing in Google spreadsheets, and I was running playbooks out of Google Docs, and I was, you know, basically cataloging what my, you know, open rates, response rates, and sentiment analysis was. And I had a team of virtual assistants in the Philippines that were going through my emails and checking these things off within Google spreadsheets. That's why sales engagement platforms exist now, to be able to do a lot of this, the surfacing work for you. Because it's really tough to optimize something if you can't measure it.
So please help me welcome the great Blake Morgan.
Yeah, this is a tough one. People always come up to me and they want to change their company, but they don't know what to do because they don't always have the influence necessary. And I actually tell them some tough love. What I tell them is that you want to work for a company that has a really strong culture, a company that is employee focused and customer focused, because I've worked in big companies where you want to do the right thing. You want to make change, but you're only one small cog in a very, very large system, and you are limited. So if you're not working for a company that is transformational, that embraces employee experience, embraces customer experience, does the right thing, like you say, when your salespeople want to provide the best experience, you want to work for a company that has that in their culture. And if you don't, honestly, I would start looking for another company, because it's just too hard to be that one change agent where you think you're going to change your company. But let me give you an example of how people can do little things that really does make an impact. I was recently on a flight to Australia, and before the flight launched, it's a 15-hour flight, the captain came out of the cabin, the pilot, and he gave us these little business cards that said thank you in a ton of different languages. And the card said, "We would not be here without you. And thank you so much. And if there's anything I can do to be of service, please let me know." And he provided us with his Gmail address.
Wow.
Which I'm sure United Airlines, right, didn't want this rogue pilot to give out his Gmail address to, you know, a couple dozen passengers on this flight. But he did it because he cares so deeply. He is not afraid to go a little rogue to do the right thing for the customer. And while I'm sure United Operations isn't that excited that employees are giving their personal email out, I mean, if you are brave enough and in the moment you want to do something that's a little bold, I mean, you can do it, but you do risk getting in trouble. But it's great that even at some of these big companies, you see these little shining examples of people who care so much about the customer experience and the integrity of the experience that they're willing to stick their neck out, like this example of this pilot.
I was flying first class one day in the old U.S. Airways, and there was eight people in the front cabin. And a guy comes out, the flight attendant comes out. He says, "Hi, my name is Dennis. Thanks for your business and welcome to your flight." And then he shook my hand, and he shook the hand of the guy next to me. And I said to my seatmate, I said, "Do you fly a lot?" He goes, "Yeah, all the time." I said, "Flight attendant ever shake hands with you before?" He said, "No, it was the first time." That was the first time for me too. Like 20 years of flying, no one had ever said, "Thanks for your business," and just shook my hand.
Yeah.
Such a simple thing. By the way, his name was Dennis. And that's what you remember.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway,
wow.
I've had a lot of jackass flight attendants, and I can't remember the names. Two things that I wanted to talk to you about, customer experience. Number one, in today's world, 1 to 5 defines customer experience in TripAdvisor, in Yelp, on Amazon. And so you're immediately rated on what you do based
Uber.
On – huh? Uber.
Uber.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody who has a strong online presence wants that feedback. And they do it to their employees or the product or the book. Blake, you're about to get rated. When your book comes out in the marketplace, someone's going to go on Amazon, buy your book, and give you a star one way or the other. So you're going to be the personal living example of, hey, here's my own rating. The second thing is, you said people are demanding. They actually are demanding because they have an expectation. And that expectation is, I want 2-day delivery. I want 1-day delivery. I want it now. Domino's Pizza.
So knowing that people are demanding and that they're going to give you a rating, how can we communicate with our customers in a different way? What do you recommend?
Yeah, so it's all about humility, about integrity, about doing the right thing. Because even when the companies get terrible ratings, like on Yelp, we as customers appreciate the company that is willing to fix it, that responds to the unhappy customer and says, "Hey, so sorry for your experience. Let me make it right." So even if you do get poor ratings, companies have this wonderful opportunity to publicly fix that issue. And I would say you might win customers over even more so had you just gotten high reviews, because people value that integrity and commitment to the relationship. Yes, we do live in a society where many of our services are rated. It's challenging because, I mean, me personally, I wouldn't give a review unless I am extremely happy and I personally care about the person that, let's say, served me at a restaurant or gave me a manicure. If I want to really help them in their life, I might go do a review. Or if I were really, really unhappy or angry, then I would do a review. But I mean, it's just hard to say with these review, like, unless you're really happy or really angry, I mean, there's just not a lot in between. So, I mean, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing that we're being rated, but you always have to take it with a grain of salt because there's a lot of factors that go into it. So, I mean, yeah, you're right, guys. We live in a society where you're getting rated, but if you get a poor rating, hey, that's a great opportunity to fix the experience and to do it publicly.
Please help me welcome the great Amanda Berger. So how do you advise your Glow pros, if I have the name right, to really connect with their potential customers and be able to make those two sales?
That's an awesome point. There's always two sides to it. And we are in the business of not only changing people's opinions about the sunless industry, because sometimes we get a bad rap, but I think it all goes down to building trust with clientele and future clientele and showing up consistently. So we teach, when someone comes on board Glow Body and they buy a package, they get a one-on-one Glow professional training coach who's going to really teach them, hey, listen, just because you have a spray tan machine, just because you have a tent and some solution, doesn't mean you're going to be a successful spray tan artist. And so really trying to teach these people that have never owned a business and they don't know about marketing or networking. It's interesting because you can't have one without the other. And I think that changing people's attitudes about spray tanning, good tanning versus bad sunless tanning, takes the right training and education, and educating the people that are watching you via social media, because let's be honest, that's where people are watching you. And once once you build that trust, once you put out there enough, you know, give, then, you know, they might try you, experience what we call the Glow Body experience, and then go tell their friends who have never had a spray tan before, hey, this stuff is legit. It works. It's healthy. And look how good I look and look how good I feel. So I think there are many moving parts. And for us in the sunless industry and in the sunless space, there's a lot of bad products out there that might be turning people weird colors. And
I get turned orange all the time.
Yeah, but here's the deal.
Steamy, girl.
Amanda, you became successful at it because you did it yourself.
Yes.
And you determined what needed to be done as a salesperson, literally in your own business, and then made it bigger. But your foundation is your own personal experience. And that goes a hell of a long way towards credibility.
So how do you use that experience in your training for the other Glow Pros?
Well, everybody from my warehouse manager to my husband, who is our CFO, is Glow Body certified. They know exactly what it takes to spray tan somebody from start to finish. They know they're trained in all of our products. Catherine Katz, who, like I said, has worked for brands like MAC, Benefit Cosmetics, huge company. She said when she came on Glow Body, I need to become Glow certified first before I go any step further. And we took that one experience. We said, well, everybody needs to be Glow certified before they work here. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. So you got Glow boys and Glow babes that are out there.
Glow bros or Glow bows.
Got ya.
It's not, like you said, it's not just for pasty white girls. We have African American Glow pros. We have Asian, Latina, all of them. Like we spray tan every single skin type and tone out there.
So is there hope for me?
Yes. And my goal now is to get you in the booth.
Yeah. I was wondering when my Glow Pro was going to show up, like if they were just going to walk in during this interview.
Yeah. And start spraying their asses off. We have to darken these windows first. But you literally are a classic example of how to turn your own belief and love of something into a business that makes you financially secure. And in today's world, that ain't easy.
No.
It takes a lot of, you know, people don't know the whole background story of how many hours you worked your ass off or how many times a shipment got screwed up or something happened that was nuts in the background. They don't understand that part. They only see the successful you that's glowing, correct?
Correct. And I love that you say that, because we always say listen, we've done some things right, but we've done a lot of things wrong. And so that's why we are telling you, if you do everything we're telling you to do, you're going to be successful if you put the energy and effort, you know, into what you're doing.
Yeah, trial by fire creates the best training manual.
You're giving them the secret formula.
Right.
Right, because we've done it wrong too. We've done a lot of things. We always say failing forward is key to, you know, being successful.
This has been a Sell or Die Extra. If you like it and you like the show and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to thegittimerlearningacademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to gittimerlearningacademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher. And come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.